Psalms 119. Again, this morning we looked at what our relationship should be with the Bible, should be with the Lord's commandments. And just a quick review, not going to spend too much time, but we talked about we should believe His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and we should believe it. God's Word is truth. John 17:17, sanctify them through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. We should believe it. We should keep His Word. We read verse 4, Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently, and we're commanded to keep it. We should delight in His Word. We should desire His Word. Psalms 112 and verse 1 says, Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. We should meditate on His Word. Psalms 1:2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. We should have respect for the Word of God, placing on it the worth that is due, giving it the value that is due. We should tell others about God's Word. We read verse 46 this morning. I will speak of Thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. I hope you dwell on that verse this week, and I hope that helps you and that verse sticks with you. And hopefully these are areas we're all improving in when it comes with our relationship to God's Word. And tonight we're continuing along the lines of the Word of God. D.L. Moody said, I never saw a useful Christian who was not a student of the Bible. That's a pretty convicting thought. If we don't know God's Word, we can't act on it. And I never saw a useful Christian who was not a student of the Bible. So how do we view the Bible? That was this morning. Now what does the Bible do for us? And we don't read the Bible just to get something from it, just for the blessings. But there are blessings that come from the Bible, from reading it. Reading the Bible is so important that cannot be stressed enough. Someone said, the more you read the Bible, the more you'll love the author. And the Bible is the only book where the author is in love with the reader. And it's all through God's Word. He loves you and He loves me. So benefits from the Bible, 11 different things tonight, but we'll be quick. Don't worry. When we're in the Bible, number one, we'll be blessed. We'll be blessed. We read verse 1 and verse 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. We all want to be blessed. What does that mean, being blessed? It is happy, prosperous in worldly affairs, enjoying spiritual happiness and the favor of God. I think that's something we all desire. We all want the favor of God on our lives. No one wants to be miserable. And being obedient to God's laws, like we said, blessed are those who are undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. When we keep His commandments, when we're walking in the law of God, we will find that happiness. Real joy from God is theft-proof. Happiness can be stolen any time, but that real joy from God is theft-proof. Someone said, Jesus makes you happy in reality. The world makes you happy escaping from reality. And we see that more and more with TV, with video games, with all these virtual reality stuff, trying to get you out of reality because your life's not that good. Well, when we're in the Bible, Bible says we'll be blessed. We'll have the spiritual favor of God in our lives. How do we get that joy? Be in His Word, walking with Him. Look at Psalms 112. Psalms 112, the first three verses, we read verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandment. And then look at some of the benefits. His seed shall be mighty upon earth, the generation of the upright shall be blessed, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Many blessings are available to us, honor, prosperity, security, freedom from fear, if we pay attention to verse 1, and fear the Lord, and delight greatly in His commandments. If you expect God's blessings, you must revere Him and gladly obey Him. Look at Psalms chapter 1, another familiar passage. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. Again, we find that word blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. And that's all of Scripture, His law. All of Scripture doth He meditate day and night. You can learn how to follow God by meditating on His Word. Meditating means spending time reading and thinking about what you have read. It means asking yourself how you should change so you're living as God wants. Knowing and meditating on God's Word are the first steps toward applying it to your everyday life. If you want to follow God more closely, you must know what He says. In verse 3, do you notice that phrase? And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Again, we like that, right? We want everything we do to prosper. But that is the result of verse number 2. That is the result of his delight being in the law of the Lord and meditating in his law day and night, right? We want the end result, but we don't always want to put in the work to get it, right? With exercise, I don't want to put in the work. I'll be honest, right? Dieting, I'm not putting in the work. I like those cupcakes. But we all want the whatsoever you doeth. We all want the prospering part. But do you delight in his law? Do you meditate in it day and night? The phrase whatsoever you doeth shall prosper does not mean immunity from failure, immunity from difficulties, nor does it guarantee health, wealth, and happiness. What Scripture means by prosperity is when we apply God's wisdom to our lives, the fruit we bear will be good and will receive God's approval. As a tree soaks up water and bears fruit, we also are to soak up God's word, producing actions and attitudes that honor God. To achieve anything worthwhile, we must have God's word in our hearts. If you want despair, spend time with scoffing sinners. But if you want joy, make friends with those who love God and love his word. If you want to live a prosperous life like the psalmist, delight in God's word, meditate in his word day and night. Look at James chapter 1. We had this verse as our theme for the fall program. That feels like a year ago, doesn't it? But that was just like a month ago. James chapter 1 and verse number 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Looking into the perfect law of liberty. We talked about it a little bit this morning, but we have so much liberty when we obey God, when we obey his word. And it's important to know what God's word says, but it is much more important to obey it. That's what it said. It said, don't be just a hearer, be a doer. We can measure the effectiveness of our Bible study time by the effect it has on our behavior and on our actions. The perfect law of liberty could also be called the perfect law that gives freedom. Seems paradoxical that a law could give freedom, doesn't it? But God's law offers us a true reflection of our sinful condition and gives us the opportunity to ask God's forgiveness. As Christians, we are saved by God's grace, and salvation frees us from sin's control. And as believers, we are free to live as God created us to live. Of course, this does not mean that we're free to do as we please. We are now free to obey God, free to live a life that pleases him. You'll be blessed when you're in God's word. Number two, we'll be unashamed. We talked about that a little bit this morning. We'll be unashamed when you're in the Bible, when you're in God's word. The Bible will make you unashamed. And we've all been embarrassed at some point in our lives, right? No one likes being embarrassed. How many of you have an embarrassing story you can tell? All right, great. We're going to pass around the microphone right now. Just kidding. But, I've got so many embarrassing stories, I don't even remember them anymore at this point, right? It happens like every other day. We all like when someone else gets embarrassed. It's funny when someone else embarrasses themselves, but we don't like that feeling of shame, that feeling of embarrassment. Look at verse 6 of Psalm 119. He said, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto thy commandments. We will be kept from doing that which will turn to our shame, but we will also have a confidence toward God and a boldness of access to the throne of grace. Look at 1 John chapter 3. I know we're turning back and forth. Maybe keep a place in Psalm 119. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You notice the progression? Our hearts doesn't condemn us because we have confidence in God, because we're in his word. We know we're doing right. And then whatsoever we ask, he's going to answer, because we're asking in God's will, not being ashamed. If your conscience is clear, you can come to God without fear. We've all had times we don't want to pray because there's some sin in our life. There's some sin that's keeping us from praying. And John reaffirms Jesus' promise, ask and it shall be given you. You will receive if you obey, because when you obey, you will ask in God's will. You will ask aligned with what he wants you to ask. Of course, this does not mean that you can have anything you want, like instant riches. If you are truly seeking God's will, there are some requests that you won't make. Not ashamed, unashamed praying, because you're asking God's will, because you have confidence, because your heart's not condemning you, because you're doing right, because you're in God's word. A benefit from the Bible will not be ashamed. Look back at Psalm 119. I told you to keep a place there. Verse number 80. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. We want to live a life where we're not looking over our shoulder. That guilt of shame. Not embarrassed for what we've done. Keeping God's word will help you live a life where you're not ashamed. That is a benefit from the Bible when you're in his word. There's a lot of things you can do that you would be ashamed of, but being in God's word is not one of them. Number 3. We'll be cleaned. We'll be cleansed. Cleaned, cleansed. Verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And we are drowning in a sea of sinful attractions, aren't we? Everywhere we look, we find temptation to fill our minds with thoughts of which God would not approve. And the writer, he asked the question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How do we stay pure in a contaminating environment? We cannot do this on our own, but must have counsel and strength more dynamic than the tempting influences around us. Where can we find that strength? Where can we find that wisdom? By reading God's word and doing what it says. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. John 15:3 says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. God's word has the power to clean and transform lives, doesn't it? Hebrews 4:12, we know it. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is not just a collection of words. It's living. It's alive. It's life-changing. It's dynamic if we'll let it. If we'll let it work in our lives, it discerns what is within us, both good and evil. And it has the power to shape and change lives, to change actions, to change attitudes, change our thinking. And we've all seen lives that have been transformed by the word of God. The word of God has just cleaned them up. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. This next point kind of goes along with what we just said. We'll be clean. But number four, a benefit from the Bible, what God's word does for us, it keeps us from sin. Look at verse 11. You know what's even better than being cleansed from sin? Is having nothing to do with it in the first place. Being kept from sin. And yes, it's awesome that God's word changes lives. But it's even better when you're not, don't even go near that temptation, when you're not even tempted by that sin, when you don't do that sin. You know, we've all heard testimonies of, again, lives have been transformed, a drunkard who's no longer drinking. But you know what's even better is being kept from sin, as a young kid, growing up in church, growing up in God's house, growing up in God's word, who never has to deal with that temptation. That's a whole lot better. Yes, it's awesome that God's word cleanses, but it's a whole lot better to be kept from sin. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. It keeps us from sin. Too many Christians, you know, live, well, God will forgive me, right? We're under grace. God will forgive me. No, it's, again, the benefits of being kept from sin far outweigh just the forgiveness. It keeps us from sin. Romans 6, I better turn there so I don't botch this up. Right, this is Paul talking to the Romans, and he's saying, you know, don't stay in sin. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And I love these next two words. He says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Right? Why would we want to continue in sin? It's so much better to be kept from sin. God forbid that we live in sin any longer. It keeps us from sin. Storing God's word in our heart is a deterrent to sin. And this alone should inspire us to memorize Scripture. That's what it says, thy word have I hid in mine heart. When we hide God's word in our heart, it keeps us from sin. Look at verse 101. It says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. Verse 128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Hate is a very strong word in the Bible, and God does not throw hate around lightly. He says, I don't want anything to do with sin, wickedness, a false way. And a Christian who reads their Bible regularly will be guided by its teachings, will come to hate sin. The word of God builds a healthy fear of God and leads to a proper hatred of sin. So the Bible cleanses us, but even better, it keeps us from sin. Number five, the Bible gives us direction and discernment. Direction and discernment. Look at verse number 10. How many of you hate not knowing where you're going? I hate that, right? I hate wandering. Pointless. It's pointless, right? Going through the grocery store 10 times through the same aisles. Like, where is this? Going through the candy store looking for a wonderful product to put out. And it's like, where is this? I've walked by this 20 times. And I hate not having direction. I hate wandering. Well, the Bible is our roadmap for Christian living. It gives us direction. It gives us discernment. Verse number 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. I hate wandering. Don't say God is silent when your Bible is closed. Well, God's not speaking to me. God's not talking to me. Well, are you in his word? That's how he's going to give you direction. That's how he's going to give you discernment, by being in the Bible. The Bible is meant to be bread for daily use, not cake for special occasions. right? Pull it out on God's birthday. Pull it out on Christmas. Let's read a chapter. No, it's our sustenance to get through life. It's our bread for daily living. Oh, I'm in trouble. I guess I'll pull out the Bible. Someone said, if you are ignorant of God's word, you will always be ignorant of God's will. Again, God, you're not speaking to me. Well, are you in his word? That is how he gives you direction, how he gives you discernment. Look at Psalms 119, verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. In verse 105, a familiar verse, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is our light in the dark, giving us direction, giving us discernment. It shows us clearly the path we should be taking. Look at verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. It gives understanding, it gives direction, it gives discernment, it gives understanding, it gives wisdom. Look at verse 98. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Through thy commandments, wiser than mine enemies. 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Gives us that wisdom. God's word makes us wise, wiser than our enemies, wiser than any teachers who ignore it. True wisdom goes beyond amassing knowledge. It is applying that knowledge in a life-changing way. Look at Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 6. Wisdom comes from the Lord. Verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. God is the source. He gives us wisdom, discernment, direction, knowledge. Talking about the Bible, it is shallow enough so that the most timid swimmer may enjoy its waters without fear, and yet deep enough for the most expert swimmer to enjoy it without touching bottom. And there's something in God's word for everything. Again, from the smallest child to the oldest adult here, there's something in God's word for everyone. It will give anyone who desires it direction, discernment, wisdom, because wisdom comes from God. Number 6, look back at Psalms 119. Will be quickened. The Bible quickens us. I believe 9 times in this chapter it says quickened. And quickened is not a word we use in normal conversation, right? Christian, you look very quickened today. We don't say that. What does quickened mean? It means to revive, to cheer, to refresh, to make alive. Verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Bible is our source of cheer. It refreshes us. It revives us. It encourages us. How can God's word revive us? Our world is so full of evil. God's word revives us with the promise of victory over evil. Our world says we are worthless without beauty or possessions. God's word gives us value by telling us that God created us and loves us. Our world is full of discouragement. God's word encourages us. Our world has no real lasting answers. God's word gives satisfying eternal answers. Read God's word and be revived, be quickened. We all need that at times in our life. The Bible is a cure for depression. It's a cure for emptiness, being spiritually revived. Look at verse number 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. He said, in hard times, in my affliction, the Bible's comforted me. It's revived me. It's refreshed me. It's cheered me. Verse number 93. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Verse number 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. 154. In trying times, I'm afflicted. Well, get in the Bible. I'm struggling. I don't know what to do. I'm depressed. Get in God's word. It will quicken. It will revive you. It will refresh you, cheer you. 154. If I can find it. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Again, in troubling times, in those difficult circumstances, we'll turn to the Bible. You'll get encouragement. You'll get refreshing. Number 7, we'll fly through these last ones. The Bible gives us hope. It gives us hope. Look at verse 49. Multiple times the psalmist says, hope in thy word, hope in thy word. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Verse 74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Verse 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield, I hope in thy word. Verse 147, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Turn to Romans chapter 15. There's so much the Bible does for us. Romans chapter 15. When we're in it, we're obeying it. It blesses us, keeps us from being ashamed, gives us hope, it quickens us. Romans 15, verse number 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The knowledge of the Scriptures affects our attitude toward the present and the future. The more we know about what God has done in years past, the more confidence we can have about what He will do in the days ahead. We should read our Bibles diligently to increase our trust that God's will is best for us. And this world is looking for hope. Many Christians are hopeless. As crazy it is to say that, many Christians are longing for hope. Well, get in the Bible. That's where you'll find your hope, not in this world. This world is crazy. You will find your hope in the Bible, in the Scriptures. Don't look to man. Don't look to money. Look to the Bible. Many people ask, you know, what does the Bible do for me? The Bible does nothing for me. Well, it'll give you hope. It'll give you hope. Number 8, the Bible offers peace. Peace. Look back at Psalms 119 and verse number 165 toward the end of the chapter. 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And when we care about what God's words say, when we love His law, right, who cares what so-and-so says? Doesn't matter. It gives us that peace. We all want peace. No one enjoys conflict. Modern society longs for peace of mind. Here is clear-cut instruction on how to realize this. If we love God and obey His laws, we will have great peace. Great peace have they, not just so-so peace, right? Okay peace. No, great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Look back at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Well, what's adding to thee? Well, when we keep the Lord's commandments, peace shall be added unto you. Look at verse number 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Whose paths? Well, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding. All their paths are peace. Again, where is wisdom? Where is understanding? Where does that come from? We read it. It comes from the Lord. It comes from God's word. A chapter previous, verse 6, chapter 2, verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The Lord, God's word, offers peace. I certainly want to be at peace with God and not fighting against God. Number 9, the Bible helps us. Verse number 175, back in Psalms 119, it helps us. We've given a couple ways how it helps us, right? It cleanses us, it keeps us from sin, it quickens us, it directs our path. It helps us. Verse 175, second to last verse. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Help me. How do they help us? Well, one thing they do is they strengthen us. Verse number 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. That is the uniqueness of our Bible. God not only provides the rules and guidelines, but comes with us personally each day to strengthen us so that we can live according to those rules. All we must do is invite Him and respond to His direction. It helps us. You know, many people say, oh, the Bible doesn't help me. The Bible doesn't help me. Well, it will if you let it, if you obey it, if you keep it. It will help you. There are so many benefits. If our attitude is right, the Word of God will help you. Number 10, it equips us. Two more, it equips us. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. We've alluded to it a little bit today, twice, I think. But let's read the whole verse, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. It equips us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's profitable. It equips us for what is right, tells us what's not right, tells us how to get right, tells us how to stay right. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Number 11 and last, this might be my favorite one. God's word reminds us. It reminds us of so many different things. It reminds us of God's love. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Almost done. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Reminds us of God's love. We could spend a whole nother message just on things that the Bible reminds us of, if we'll let it. Romans 8, verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What an encouraging passage. Reminds us of God's love. The Bible reminds us of God's mercy. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, who is rich in mercy. Reminds us of God's presence. Deuteronomy 31, 8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Reminds us that God strengthens us. Isaiah 40, 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. He strengthens us, reminds us of salvation. Romans 10, 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How would we know that if we didn't have God's word? We wouldn't. Reminds us of salvation, the saving power of Christ. Reminds us of God's goodness. Psalm 145, verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Reminds us we have certain victory. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Reminds us we serve a God of impossibilities, the God of the impossible. Think of David and Goliath, Elijah on Mount Carmel, the 10 plagues, Israel crossing the Red Sea over and over and over again, a God who did and does the impossible. Reminds us that God delivers, Psalms 34, verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Reminds us of God's protection, Deuteronomy 31, 6. Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For thy Lord, thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Reminds us of God's power, Ephesians 1, 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Did you notice those adjectives in that verse? What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? Not just that he's been great to us. No, the exceeding greatness of his mighty power. Reminds us of God's faithfulness. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Reminds us God's in control. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Reminds us of God's greatness. Psalms 145, 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. And we could go on and on about all that God's word reminds us of, all the promises that God gives. And we wouldn't know about it if we didn't have the Bible. And God's word gives us so much, reminds us of so much if we'll just be in it, if we'll just let ourselves be reminded. One last verse, look at Psalms 119, verse 118. Verse 118. There are so many benefits from the Bible, but there are consequences if we stray from it. Verse 118. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. God said, I have trodden down all them that err from thy statutes. Stay in God's word this week. I'd much rather have all the benefits than deal with the consequences. And it's so simple, just being in God's word. And again, this morning, how do we view the Bible? What is our attitude toward God's word? But then there's so much that the Bible will do for us if we'll just let it. It'll bless us. We'll live a life that's not ashamed. It cleanses us. It keeps us from sin. It gives us discernment. Gives us direction. Gives us wisdom. Gives us knowledge. It quickens us. Refreshes us. Gives us hope. Helps us find peace. It strengthens us. It equips us. And it reminds us so much God's word will do for you if you'll let it. Someone said, the Bible is, to many people, God's unopened letter. And don't let that be your life, where you have the word of God. And we have so much access to God's word. I have 20 Bibles in my house, right? It's crazy. But what do we do with God's word? How is our attitude toward it? How do we view it? And then watch how it'll change your life and so many blessings that God will give you. Hopefully you're not tired of Psalms 119 at this point. And I said it this morning, but go through that chapter And I know we hit on a lot of those verses, and thank you for your patience, but it'll help you if you'll let it. Get in the Bible and watch how God will transform your life, and He'll help you so much. Let's pray.